So how many of you were here last Sunday? Nobody wants to raise a hand. Remember, I have a question for you. Can you turn on the PowerPoint? That was the questions. So how many of you are ready to answer these questions? Oh man. Almost give away all the answers. Oh, later. So if Jesus were not God, what would it do to your faith? I'm ready. You can just tell me your answer. Mingyu is trying. Wouldn't it be true? Okay. Oh, you mean the faith would not be true? Okay, I got it. Would not be praying to Jesus if he's not God. Okay, good. Thank you. Anyone would like to try? Luisa. Okay. Wow, that's good. A good answer. A very honest answer too.
Maybe God could ask that commandment for everyone to give everybody a glass of water.
Oh, okay. Anyone? We have plenty of time, so I said 5 minutes. So last week. There's no point to be a Christian. Why? Exactly. Okay.
He wouldn't be our bridge.
He won't be a bridge.
Bridge for us to,
between God and man.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Irene. Okay, good. Some of you sitting there had a Bible school training or seminary training, I know who you are, so do you want me to call your name? Someone tried to answer my questions, calling the phone. The whole Bible is a lie. Right to the point. Yep, anything else? Any questions? Answers? So we used to say any questions. Any answers for the questions? One more. Nothing. Yep, very good. So let me give you some answers from theological books, if it works. We cannot have real and full knowledge of God. No man can truly reveal who God is. The death of Christ, Jesus, I think the second point is the very important point. The death of Jesus is not sufficient for all sinners who have ever lived, for it was merely a finite human die. That's why 2,000 years later, today, you still can believe his death, because he's an infinite God, so his divinity, his deity is important. Otherwise, everything will be limited to just the time that he was, death. Just like the animals sacrificed in the Old Testament. Human cannot be the one true mediator between God and man. a man cannot bring humanity back to God, because God is higher, and I think it's just being a human, we have no right and no qualification to be a mediator to God. God was not just to send a human to die. He will be calling God unfair, injustice, to send a human to die for the requirement that he laid down. This is a argument. A lot of people say that, you know, it's not loving, it's not fair. God sent Jesus, a perfect man, to die on the cross for others. And why is this happening? All these things. But Jesus was God, and he is God, so he fulfilled what he laid down. God laid down the requirement. So this is some of the reasons why we believe and we truly understand and believe, not understand, we believe Jesus is 100% God. And his deity as well as humanity is crucial in our faith, in our gospel, in the whole Bible, as we all mentioned. Very good. So this is some reasons important to us. If Jesus were not God, I think we'll all collapse. The whole faith will collapse. The Bible will be a lie, like you said. So it's very important for us to understand, to accept that. It's very vital for us to believe Jesus was 100% God. And a few days ago, let's come to today's sermon, chapter 2. A few days ago, a brother asked me these questions. Why was the name of Jesus not mentioned in Hebrews chapter 1? If you look at the Bible, please turn your Bible if you have not. We have Bible provided for you. So please turn your Bible to book of Hebrews chapter 2 and chapter 1. If you look at it, you will see the name Jesus was not there. And as I mentioned last week, the first two chapters are very important to establish who Jesus Christ is. So why would not his name be mentioned in Hebrews chapter 1? You know, being a pastor, you know, when questions like that are being asked, it really makes you think, oh no, how much do I know my Bible or something like that. You know, it's more like a test. So so when he asked me that, I was thinking, what is the chapter 1 all about? Hebrews chapter 1, what is it all about? Chapter 1 is about his deity. The author, the writer, wants to establish the deity of Jesus Christ. That's why the name, human name Jesus, I think that's why it was not purposely not mentioned in chapter 1. But even Christ, the term we use to describe Jesus Christ, Christ is the Old Testament name Messiah. It's more like a title expressing the function of the Messiah, which is the promised deliverer or savior. So I think that even the Christ, the term Christ, would not be sufficient to express the deity of the second person, Jesus Christ. I think that's why the author used the Son of God. And I think this is much more appropriate when we try to establish his deity. So Jesus, of course, the name of his human side. Christ, a lot of time we use it to describe his deity, the divinity. But even at this point, the term Christ is not sufficient to express his relationship with God the Father and his God himself. So the Son of God will be much, much more appropriate. That's why in chapter 1, you will not see that. And I think the author is trying to establish Jesus Christ is the Son of God. First, he's the Word of God, and then he established he's not just the Word of God, actually, he's the Son of God. So today, we're going to look at chapter 2. As I mentioned, chapter 1 talks about his deity, his divinity. Now, chapter 2, please turn to Hebrews chapter 2. You will see the first few verses is a transitional statement and moving us toward another topics. So starting verse 5, the author, the writer, is trying to establish another important aspect of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, his humanity. He is 100% God and he is 100% human. And we know that this is a mystery because nobody else within human history was like Jesus. He was 100% God and 100% human. This is a mystery, but the reality we have to accept, this is truth. This is the truth, and the book of Hebrews is trying to establish that in the first two chapters before he moves on to talk about what Jesus has done for us as a high priest, all these things. So it's very important to understand and accept, even though we might not be able to comprehend the whole thing, but just like many knowledge, there's a mystery. If you look at the universe, a lot of things that we do not understand, but we just have to accept it. So as Jesus Christ, even though we have no idea how it works, but we have to accept Jesus Christ is 100% human, 100% God. And if you look at the scriptures, last time I also mentioned some of them. Colossians chapter 1, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In the same book, chapter 2, verse 9, Colossians, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So the Bible explains how Christ, being both God and man, fulfilled the purposes of God. You can find it in chapter 2, Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 17. It's one of the verses that suggests how Jesus, 100% God and 100% human, fulfilled what God has in mind in his life. For this reason, chapter 2, verse 17, for this reason he had to be made like his brothers, like you and me, human. In every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. So this is a very important verse to tell us what Jesus has done as a 100% God and 100% human. So today I have 2 points to share with you from chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, you can have a rough breakdown from this passage. The writer tried to establish the humanity of Jesus. And starting from verse 5, as I said, the first four verses is like a transitional statement, moving from one topic to the other topic. It does not mean that the first four verses are not important, but it's not in our study today. So starting chapter verse 5, you will see the glory, the humiliation, and the glory of the Son, and then being part of us, solidarity of the Son with the human family, verses 10 to 18. So you can see this is the major breakdown of chapter 2, especially from verses 5 to the end of the chapter. And today we have 2 points to share with you. The first point is that by becoming a man, Jesus identified himself with you and me, humanity. It's wonderful, you know, to see that God become man. He would become human being just like you and me. The writer asks a question, what is the man that you are mindful of him? Quoted from Psalms 8, the son of man that you care for him. Then he answered the question by saying, you crown him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. You can find this in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. As I said, quoted from Psalms 8, 5, particularly from verses 5 to 8. It's quoted from Psalms 8. And the psalm writer makes it even stronger. If you look at the Old Testament, it says that the man, he was made a little less than God. But that word God, people have different agreements on that. Could be God, could be angels. Because that God, the word Elohim, is in plural form and sometimes is referred to angels. So people will say God, maybe less than God, maybe less than angels. But obviously when it comes to the book of Hebrews, in chapter 2, the writer interpreted as what? Less than angels. In order to come for us, Jesus Christ had to humble himself. You know that passage, Philippians chapter 2. Verses 6 to 8, who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So Jesus humbled himself. God, the second person of the Trinity, he became you just like you and me. Not just became you and me, he gave up everything. to come to be part of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, Paul continued to say something like that. For you know that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. You see, this is what Jesus has done, and that's why he deserves all the glory and honor. Today, naturalists, people who do not believe in God, will tell us that we are just advanced animals. You and me, just like animals. We are animals. We are helpless against the urge and instinct which rule us. We are made to believe that we can fight them, but we can never overcome them. A lot of people are doing all these things and believe in all this belief. But the writer of Hebrews tells us that no, it's not true. Human beings like us, you and me, we are incredible. We have incredible dignity and just a little bit less than angels, just according to Hebrews chapter 2. It tells us that we are crowned with glory and honor. But at the same time, if you look at the book of Hebrews, the argument, it says, is not happening yet to humanity. The glory and honor, we have not had that yet. You see, you look at it. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. If you look at in verse 8, in putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. At present, we do not see everything subject to him. He's talking about humanity. But in verse 9, this is another thing. You see, this is how to see Christ Jesus become human being, just like me, because the writer refer him to like parallel to verse 8. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels. You see, he's talking about the same in verse 8. Humanity is lower than angels. And then he referred Jesus Christ was lower than angels because he suffered death so that the grace of God, he might taste death for everything. But he crowned with glory and honor. So Jesus was different. Even though humanity, we have not received this honor and glory. I will tell you why. But Jesus, through his death, his suffering, he has received all this dignity and honor and glory. The reason is because, what? He has died for each one of us. So that is the difference. For us, we are not there yet. But for Christ, for Jesus, just like you and me, he became human, but he has received honor and glory because of what he has done on the cross. So naturalists tell us that we are just like animals. But the Bible tells us otherwise. We are not just like animals. If you look at these two chapters, I want to show you the contrast. Think about it with me, please. Chapter 1, Jesus Christ was higher, better than angels, right? That's what the writer tried to prove in chapter 1. That he was talking about his deity. Chapter 2, his humanity. Being human, he was lower than angels, just like you and me. You see the contrast? In chapter 1, he was God, he's higher than angels, he's better than angels. Angels was, at the end, was just a servant, serving you and me. In chapter 2, he was human, just like you and me, and he was created, or he was made, so-called, little lower than you, lower than angels. And the contrast tells us, very interesting, being God and being human and angels. It was like a reference point to show us the difference. But at the same time, does Jesus make himself more supreme than us, better than us? Did he say that, the writer? If you look at it in verse 11, chapter 2, verse 11, it's not so. Even though he had received glory and honor, but Jesus Christ did not make himself, you know, more supremer, better than you and me, that type of thing. Because the writer said, both the one who makes man holy, listen carefully, both the one makes man holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them what? How did Jesus call us? Brothers and sisters, of course. Just in case you wonder where you are, where you it's right in there too. Call us brothers and sisters. Equal footing, because he's just like you and me, 100% human. And other than that, we are partnered with him, because if you look at 1 Peter, but you are a chosen people to royal priesthood, a holy nation, us. We're talking about human beings who believe in Jesus Christ, a people belonging to God, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ became human being, and he is just like us. And he called us to a higher calling, becoming a priest for his kingdom. What can we learn from these verses? What can we learn? What is this passage teach us something? I have some suggestions. What can we learn from these verses? Humanity is basically good in its nature. Humanity is basically good in its nature because God became man. Despite how people say about humanity, we are not animals. Do you believe you are just animals? Your friends might tell you we are just animals, just more advanced animals. But with uncontrollable drives, and we are not born evil. Or someone would say we are born evil. Chinese, there's a saying, said that, you know, there's an argument whether we were born evil or we were born good. Do you know that? 人性本善,人性本惡嘛, right? Well, if you don't understand, fine. And we were born evil and with all kinds of lusts. And we all know that that's no longer true. We now live with all kinds of drives and lustful desire. Man basically was good. But at the same time, in reality, now that we live all kinds of lives, we find ourselves living under and driven by all kinds of desires. Some of them are lustful. It seems that we have no power to set ourselves free. Man basically is good. But at the same time, we see another side of us, or not true. I mean, we are so evil sometimes. Sometimes you will say it to yourself, well, man, being human is so evil, including myself, something like that. Some people will try to, change the law to make them feel better. Some people will do what? Just live with it. Some people go for religions to find strength, to overcome evil desires, and perform some good deeds to balance off the bad things that hopefully they will be able to please God somehow and earn salvation. At the end, humanity are still far away from the Creator and powerless to come back to him. And this is the reality. You and I know that. That's why we become Christians. This is the reason we come to the second point that I want to share with you. Humanity is basically good. But now we are living in an evil world and we are so evil. Why is that? And how can we find an answer to get out from all these troubles? Second point. Jesus becoming a man delivered humanity. Jesus Christ has delivered us from the grip of sin, Satan, and death. If you look at verses 9 to 10, let's read together. Or not read together. Let's read the Bible together. As I mentioned in verse 9, Jesus has already set us free. He suffered death so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. This is maybe when you read that, you may have some misunderstanding what it means, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. By the grace of God, that you and I have a provision. The provision is Jesus Christ is going to die for you and me. So by the grace of God, to you and me, Jesus died on the cross. This is what it means here. It's not saying that, you know, it's a grace to Jesus Christ that he died on the cross. Don't read it that way. So that by the grace of God, you and me have a provision, have a way out God has provided a way out for humanity. That is, he might taste death for everyone. This is God's provision. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom all and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. And this is what Jesus did for us. He died for us so that we can so-called get out from all this bondage. And I don't think I need to spend a lot of time on this. We all taste the goodness of God and what he did for us. If you look at verse 14 and 15, which we did not read today, you will see that he became a high priest. And he is going to sacrifice. He did sacrifice for us once and for all. That's why we do not need, just like the Old Testament, do not need to perform some kind of act to please God, to remove our sins. But Jesus has done it all for each one of us. And he has done it as a human. And I will tell you why the humanity of Jesus is vital, as well as just like his deity in terms of our salvation. I will show you later, show it to you later. But he is the mediator. As you know, the priest, high priest, is the mediator in the Old Testament between God and man. And that's why verse 14 and 15 is talking about he became the high priest and he died for each one of us. He brought us to the presence of God through his blood, all this reality, this truth. And the Son of God came that you might become a child of God. He did that by giving himself for you upon the cross. Paul again said that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 to 6, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. As I said, if Jesus was just purely human, he would not be able to represent us to him. But Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6 talk about he was the mediator. Of course, we need to understand more about that, because Christ, the Savior, has done it all. And the reason he could done it, because he's deity. And we will show it to you how both works together. There's a movie. How many of you have watched a movie called, it's an old movie, okay, by the way. So you might not hear of it. You might not seen it. I didn't watch it. When I was preparing this message, I was just going to YouTube and just take a look at it, what it is. The movie is called Life is Beautiful. How many of you heard this movie? Ooh, surprising. You know, I asked you some very contemporary movies. A lot of you said, what? But you enjoy old movies. Or maybe because of your age or something. But anyway, the movie is called Life is Beautiful, and it talks about a guy, Jewish guy, who falls in love with a lady, and his name is Gudo. Is it Gudo? Something like that. Dave said something like that. And the woman called Dora. So this guy falls in love with her, and he is trying so hard to try to earn her heart. So he did a lot of funny things in the movie. And eventually they got married. So that was the time of, Second World War. I think the movie was not made that time, but the story about, you know, these couples is about Second World War. So they got married and they have a son. So they were living happy, but not ever after. But because the Nazi finally come and, they pick up all the Jews and put them in the camp. So the day comes with the family, find themselves in a German concentration camp. And Gudo convinced his son, they're trying to tell his son, you know, this is only a game. Don't worry about it. The winner of the game will walk away with a real tank. No, tank of their own. So he tried to make it easy for his son living in the camp. His son is very young. He was just 4 or 5 years old, something like that. Throughout the movie, Gudo finds ways of communicating with his wife, even though they were separate. They were in different camps. And once he finds the door open to where the public address system is, for some reason he was, you know, the German soldiers was kind of kind to him. So he would shout over to the microphone, "Good morning, princess." He was yelling at his wife. "I dream about you all night. You are all I think about. Princess, I always think about you. And at the time, he's waiting tables for a German officer in the camp. And then he spot a pile of those records, big ones, black. Do I have to describe it to you? About this size? And then put on the turntable. He put an arm on it. He would turn and the music would come. So he picked one of the one that he picked was the one that called Tale of Hoffman. The Tale of Hoffman. And it was the one that he won her heart that night. So they were playing that music. That was an opera, actually. He put it on the record player and turned the speaker toward the windows so that the wife could hear on the other side of the camp. So the music flowed over the night air and reached Dora's ear and heart. She knows two things, the wife. She knows two things. Her love is alive, the husband, and his love for her remains strong. He's constantly thinking about her. He is what gives her the courage to go on. And then through the selfless act of courage and devotion, he makes it possible for his son to live too. So I think I'm going to watch that movie, because even just looking at the YouTube, few minutes, I think it's a good movie. So maybe I'm going to watch it later on. And he was trying his best to make the wife and the son living in such a bad situation a little bit happy, and there's hope. And the Bible says, this is how God showed his love among us. This is the story. He sent his son and only son into the world that he might live through him. Even though we are separated from our Father, and we still can hear the music of heaven, we hear him calling to us, good morning, my prince, my princess. I dream of you all night. I think about you all the time. And God is waiting for us. Before closing, I want to something. Of course, the day one, I ask you a question. Day two, I ask you another question. What does the humanity of Jesus do to our Christian faith? Of course, you have no 1 week to think about it. Only 2 minutes to think about these questions. Can you give me an answer? No. What does the humanity of Jesus do to our Christian faith? You see, last time I said, Christians tend to weigh more on the deity of Jesus. We kind of, not ignore, but we don't spend a lot of time thinking about his humanity. So what does the humanity of Jesus do to our Christian faith? Can you imagine Jesus was not human? He was just 100% God. You might say, I don't mind, no problem. Are you ready to answer? For those who did not try in the first time, would you like to try this time? John Moe. Like a model identify with us or something. Okay.
He sacrifices so much for us. What does humanity of Jesus do for our Christian faith?
If he was not human.
Oh, if he was not also.
The question is, now we know his humanity, so why is it important to believe or to accept the humanity of Jesus? We have no problem of his deity. As a Christians, most of us will not have problem with his deity. As I said last time, a lot of conversation we carry on, we assume his deity as we have conversation about gospel with other people, but we don't spend a lot of time thinking about his humanity in terms of sharing the gospel, the meaning in the gospel, the salvation, all these things. Good point. No cost. Victor Law. Yep. That's good. He's reading the Bible, finding answers. Okay, I'll show you the next three slides. It's a little bit more, actually, than the deity of Jesus Christ. Sorry, it's a little bit small. I hope you can read it. The atoning death of Jesus can truly obey for us. It was not some outsider to the human race who died on the cross. It takes a human to die for a human. Jesus can truly be the mediator between God, and I mentioned in the first line, just being human, it was not enough. But he has to be a human too, but at the same time, Jesus can truly be the mediator between God and man. The deity and humanity of Jesus are needed to make him the right person who can represent God to us and who could represent us to God. So Jesus is very unique. Jesus can truly sympathize with the intercede and for us. He has experienced all that we might undergo. Someone mentioned this. Jesus manifests the true nature of humanity. Jesus has not only told us what perfect humanity is, he has exhibited it. Jesus can be our example. Someone mentioned it. He has lived where we live, therefore we can look to him as a model of the Christian faith. The last one. Human nature is good. Jesus took upon himself our full human nature. It's a reminder that to be human is not evil. It is good. Before the fall, human nature is good. So don't look at other people, they are bad, they are hopeless. God is not just transcendence. If he could actually live among us at one time as a real person, he can and does act within the human realm today as well. Some people believe that God has left us after the creation, and it's not true. The Word lived among us. The Word of God lived among us. Jesus lived among us. So we believe he is still here today to care, to take care of us. So the humanity of Jesus is vital as well. So don't just look at Jesus as God, which is no problem. But at the same time, you have to look at him as human being, just like you and me. Otherwise, his death would not mean much, because how could non-human die for your sin as a human? So his humanity is important in your gospel that you believe in. And you cannot blame God for not knowing the struggles that you have, because he did come and live as a human being, as Victor mentioned. You know, in chapter 4, you will see that he has gone through everything you have gone through, and the temptations, but he did not sin. So he really feel and taste the full power of temptation, the full power of sin, but he did not yield to it and set a good example for us. It is possible as a human. Through him, it is possible. Let's pray together. Our Father, we give you thanks for the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. Lord, we thank you for even today you are 100% God and 100% human. Now you are sitting on the right-hand side of the Father and praying for us each day, each moment, because like the book of Hebrews says that you have gone through, you became human just like us. And you have gone through all the sufferings and everything that life throw at you. That's why you understand how he feels. You understand the struggles we have. Lord, we thank you for the truth, even though it's very difficult to fully understand our Savior, 100% God and 100% human. But these two natures in one person is vital to our faith, to our gospel, to our salvation. Lord, we pray that as a Christian, we not only we love you, we are thankful for what Jesus has done for us, but Lord, we pray that we will get to know you better as our Savior, as our Creator, as a God who still sustains all things so that we still can live here today. But not just to enjoy life, but you have a mission for us to do. Before you leave, you tell us that we have to share the gospel to the end of the world, so humanity will be able to find a way to come back. Like some of us says that you are the bridge, the mediator to bring humanity back to you. Lord, we pray that we will be part of it, part of this mission, personally as well as a church. We will make this and we will follow this mission. And it is part of, not just part of our lives, but it is our mission of our lives. Lord, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.